Up in Rajasthan, India, remotely, quietly, they get on with the work. Yogis have been meditating, studying, changing the vibrations and the atmosphere, making changes to their very souls. They are guided by that higher power, the origin of wisdom, as the 20th century passes by. Who are the Brahma Kumaris and what are they trying to accomplish? Who was Brahma Baba, and how is his life a model for us today? How can just a handful of people become instruments of change? Headed by elderly women with beautiful minds, the university experiments with new knowledge for a new civilization. They consider themselves instruments, making their lives into an art form. Using the power of gentleness, they teach new concepts. You're about to meet some of these gentle men and women, these quietly powerful instruments of global change. The Founding Father. Prajapita Brahma, a jeweler by trade, who at the age of 60 received a calling. He became the instrument, the medium through whom the Supreme Soul gave his wisdom. In 1937, he founded what later became the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University.
From early age, Baba was in search of God and a better kind of life, pure life. And as it went generally by the fashion of those days, that people thought that gurus are the proper leaders to God. And therefore, following that tenet, Baba started following gurus. Thus, Baba went on having more gurus and gurus. Up to the end, Baba had 12 gurus. And Baba had full faith in each guru, but being not satisfied with those gurus, Baba did not hesitate to leave the guidance of those gurus. And by that time Baba was 60 years of age and didn't find anything, any proper guidelines. Then Baba had a sincere heart, and still Baba desired to have something in life. And then he took 15 days leave from business to have some kind of deep thinking. And therefore he retired for 15 days to Benares in solitude. And during that period, he saw some visions. Baba saw in one vision that this old world, vitiated world, vicious world, is getting destroyed by natural calamities and the wars of several kinds, world wars and civil wars and killings and so many diseases and all that. Through so many methods, Baba saw a very dreadful scene of a vast scale destruction of this world. And Baba was simply surprised, and he was afraid how all this will happen. Then on the next occasion, Baba saw a totally contradictory scene, the scene of a new, perfect and pure world. And Baba was very much satisfied to see such a scene. Then on a third occasion, Baba saw the vision of Vishnu. Baba was a worshipper of Vishnu. And when he saw the vision of Vishnu, he was overjoyed. And that, in that vision, he saw Vishnu blessing him, having a hand of blessing on his head, and uttering the words, "I am Vishnu, so you are." This again puzzled Baba. How could he be that same entity whom he is worshipping? How can he be so elevated? This put him in so many puzzles. On the one hand he saw destruction, on the other hand he saw the new world, on the third hand he saw blessings from Vishnu. Then he had to churn and churn on these lines. What this means, how this can be achieved, how can the new world come into existence in place of the old world. So this churning and churning and churning went on. And ultimately, he as if felt that he is getting directions from God himself to do this job. A new world has to be established, and that is to be done through you.
मैं करता हूँ इस कर्तापन के भार से दूर मैंने बाबा को देखा.
And because of this consciousness, we see in Baba a state of detachment from the consciousness of I or the thought that I have done anything.
अभिमान की अंशरीन देखी के बाबा में.
And so there was no trace of any ego in Baba.
सच्चाई तो ऐसी देखी अंश मात्र भी मिक्सचर नहीं देखा.
Total honesty without any trace of any falsehood within it.
वफादारी और सच्चाई किसको कहा जाता वो बाबा ने देखा.
We saw faithfulness in Baba and so what true honesty means.
जो भगवान के गुणों की महिमा गाते आ रहे थे वो गुण इस बाप में देखे.
We have been singing praise of the qualities of God, and we were able to see those qualities in this father.
Kimya, Ram, Sile, is baap mein dekha.
Forgiveness, mercy, and love were visible in this father.
Sati dil, vari dil is baap ki dekhi.
We saw in this father a true heart, a generous heart.
Phir tapasya dekhi, to aisi dekhi, baat kya batau.
And we also saw him as the embodiment of tapasya, the embodiment of intense meditation.
ये भी हम देख रहे थे शिव बाबा इस द्वारा हमको पढ़ा रहा है अपना बना रहा है.
We were seeing how Shiv Baba was working through him and making this belong to him.
और साथ साथ इसको उसके यादों में भी देखा.
And we also saw this one in remembrance of God, in remembrance of Shiv Baba.
तो वो इसमें भी देख रहे हैं उसके याद में भी इसको देख रहे हैं.
And we saw God working through him. Yet we also saw him in deep remembrance of God.
I think those who came in touch with him in one respect or the other, to one point or the other, they were definitely influenced. And there were many reasons for this. One, for example, was the power in his thought. The belief system which he gave was very powerful, so that it intellectually convinced the people that this is the right way of thinking, this is what the truth is. And then he was able to bring the transformation through his love. He gave such a magic touch to the persons who came in close with him that they found that there is really someone who has unselfish love. without any personal motive, he loves. One could understand what love really is by coming in touch with him, I think. It touched the core of your mind. It changed your whole thinking. And you really believe that you are looking for this kind of a human being. You could never think that there could be such a living person on earth who really loves you. Irrespective of your color of your skin, your beauty of your face or figure, your poverty or your richness, your ability or lack of them. Now, he was a person who loved his soul as a person, not to because he had any motive behind it. So that was what made me realize that there could be such a person and what we are going to learn from him. And when somebody loves you and gives you a good advice, then I think you are in a proper state of mind to act on that advice because you think this is for your own benefit.
I learned a lot through him. The first and foremost was I started knowing myself because otherwise, though I was good in my study, medical practice, everybody loved me, I loved him. But in fact, I never introspected myself and I never knew who I was. So not only there was self-realization, but there was real understanding of my personality through him. Because whenever he used to write a letter, he used to really describe few of our qualities in the beginning of the letter. And as I came in contact with him, I could see how much knowledge he had about me, much more than I knew myself. And I could feel from him the faith and trust that he had for me, which helped me a lot in carrying out my responsibility. The most important lesson that I have learned from Brahma Baba is to have balance in our life, so that we are looking after our body as well as we are not neglecting our mind or spirit. Also, to have the balance of loving and detached, the balance of being economic as well as generous. So having that balanced life, we find that it becomes very easy to run smoothly in this life, which is mostly defined full of obstacles and obstructions.
Actually, whenever in the functions or in the branches they ask me to speak about the founder, I get emotional. And actually, I sometimes get tears also. I stop while speaking. But here I will try not to do that. So, I met the founder way back in 1955 for the first time. My parents got into this knowledge. Actually, my mother sent me to check where my father was going. He started first. He was a law student in those days, in the final years of my law study. So, being the eldest of the two children, sons, so she sent me. And I, for about a week or so, was trying to test the knowledge and its contents and the philosophy. You know, a lawyer can work both ways, either for the defendant or the plaintiff. So I tried to check, and I was not successful, nor were they, to convince each other. Then one day, after so many days, because my father was deeply involved, that is why they were tolerating me, otherwise they would have said, you stop coming. So, they asked me to sit in meditation. Meditation. So that day, I was just squatting for meditation. The sister who was supposed to teach me, she just had an introduction and went for a phone call, listening to a phone call. When she was away, suddenly I got an experience, an extraordinary experience. A light engulfed me, I felt very happy for no reason. My eyes were open. I thought, what is this happening? I checked on my body, am I alright, felt it. So I got some feeling that there is some power here and I should not just check it. I tried to think from their side if what they were saying was correct. After that it was easy for me to understand. So after a few months of that, the whole family went to Mount Abu, and first time I had encounter with the founder. I was very anxious to see him. So the founder was an old aged person, you know, about, you know, must have been about 90 years of age or 85 years of age. And then he was a tall person with shining bright body, very attractive. And he would, what impressed me was, he will mix up with you and feel one with anyone, any person, irrespective of their age or what. So my father will feel that he is his Baba and I will feel he is my Baba, like that.
And then when I was ready and I came to Baba at that point when I was 18 and I said, Baba, I want this to be my life, Baba just smiled and said, Baba knew already. And then one night, it was here in Pandapavan, it was the month of June again, and it was very warm and pleasant. And I'd been following the teachings just for a couple of months. But Baba had given permission that I should come to Madhavan again. Around 10:30 at night, we were in a little courtyard outside Baba's room. And at that time, the courtyard was open to the sky. And Baba was lying down on a bed that had been pulled out there. And all about 10 of us gathered around Baba. And Baba's clothes were white, the bed sheet was white, Baba's pillow was white, Baba's hair was white. So it was an image of whiteness, very great purity, light. And by Baba's pillow was a bunch of jasmine flowers, very, very fragrant. And Baba picked up these flowers and beckoned me to come and take them. And as Baba was giving me these, Baba was making eye contact. And we call this drishti, the spiritual vision in meditation and God's remembrance. And that drishti changed my life, because it was as if something pulled the soul from here and carried it into the dimension of light. And it was timeless. I really don't know how long Baba held me in that world of light, just in total stillness, in that experience of purity and love. And after a while, it was as if Baba let go, and I was able to come back to the consciousness of this world, and so that's how I became Dhamma Kumari. And I think that if the film can show these two aspects of Baba, Baba's love and generosity, and secondly, Baba's wisdom and far-sightedness, I think then you'll have been able to show a little bit about who Baba really is.
It was in that first meeting with Brahma Baba and during the stay of 10 days which followed afterwards, that I could see Brahma Baba from such a closeness, because even physically I stayed next to Baba's room in the building where Baba was staying in Madhuban. And right from the morning, early morning hours till evening, till we went to sleep, it was nice to observe Brahma Baba, how he himself was a very keen meditator himself. And at the time of spiritual class, it was an experience to see the transformation in that personality when Shiv Baba descended in him to speak that spiritual knowledge to us. And then afterwards, how he himself appreciated that knowledge, and later on, how that knowledge was conveyed to all sisters and brothers for helping other human beings to get rid of the weaknesses, the negativity in their lives, and to become elevated souls.
I saw Brahma Baba for the first time sometime in 1956. When he came to Bombay, he had some problem with his kidney, he had some stone in his kidney, and was in the hospital
And I went there, I saw him lying in that hospital bed. And the moment I saw him, I was reminded of the statue of Buddha in those Ajanta and Ellora caves in India, and also there is one temple in Singapore. There also Buddha on the rocks, a sleeping Buddha statue is there. I have seen many people, and although they may be good, they could not impress me because they were always worried about themselves also. When I saw him in the hospital, he was not worried about himself. He asked me so many questions. He asked me about my health and all those things. So I realized that here is a man, you see, he does not have any bondage with his body. And like that, he impressed me a lot. Once I had taken him to a doctor, you see, we wanted to check up his eyes. And that doctor, you see, started checking up his eyes. And then he found that at the age of 93, he could read, write, and do everything. So he verified and tested all the aspects of his eyes. And ultimately, after 3.5 hours, he told me that, Mr. Ramesh, believe me, this man, this Rama Baba, has 100% perfect eyes at the age of 93. Thus, his perfection in life was also a part of his perfection of his eyes and perfection of his body. He could play, he could walk, he could talk, everything at the age of 93, like a young boy of 39.
Maybe it was 14th or 15th of January. And it was very cold night, evening time. After the dinner, it was Baba's practice to go out and have a little walk in a courtyard. And that day also Baba came out of the room after the dinner and wanted to walk in a courtyard. Normally Baba had someone to go with him for walk. And that day the everyday sister wasn't around, and I happened to be around. I just arrived at the doorstep and Baba was coming out. And Baba looked at me and asked, "Child, you want to go for a walk?" How can I say no? "Oh yes, Baba, I want to." And Baba held my hand and we set off to walk. But the moment I hold Baba's hand, I felt it wasn't Baba's hand. Normally when you touch somebody, you see, you feel the flesh and bones, but it wasn't that kind of feeling. But the feeling was like it was a cotton wool, or it was like a light. It was a few minutes because it was very cold and windy, so we went maybe for a few minutes and Baba said, "Let's go inside, it was very cold." And so we went inside. In that day, I did not realize what was it, but I felt that. But next few days then Baba became avyakta, and a whole new avenue of effort, spiritual effort, came to our attention, that how to become an angel, not only in a spiritual sense, but through the physical, through the godliness, that Baba not only did service in a spiritual way, but also he melted his bones and flesh for God too. And that was Brahma Baba's achievement through his life while he was in a physical body.
Outreach to the world community. The students and teachers of the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University have developed many ways to share these teachings and valuable insights with the community at large.
I think that this firm should project, first of all, people of any background, any religious organization, any political orientation, any race. This teaching is available to all. Secondly, the teaching has already benefited
the lives of a large community of people. Now, I think thirdly we should, in the film, show how the institution has grown over the years. We have seen it where a few years ago one would not expect that this kind of thing will go to countries like the USSR or China. But today, this institution has established centers in and the USSR, and some work has started in China. The first important thing I feel is the role that the institution is playing as a non-governmental organization in the United Nations. And over the past few years, the kind of projects that have been undertaken under the auspices of the United Nations, and the projects which have attracted virtually worldwide support.
Now I will call on Sister Mohini, who is the director of Dharma Kumaris in the United States, and their representative here at the UN, who will present a message to us at this time. Sister Mohini.
Being the main coordinator or giver, I would just like to tell you a little bit about Brahma Kumari's World Spiritual Organization. This organization functions since about 50 years, and since about 16, 17 years, it has established many centers, about 1,800 in 60 countries. And we are affiliated with United Nations since about 8 years now, just as non-governmental organization first. Then we started working and we have consultative status with ECOSOC, and recently we are also with UNICEF. It's a very spiritual oriented but offering services in different directions, and we found that it's bringing us together, not just the spiritual people, but people with different understanding coming together and working.
I chair the MENA Regional Advisory Committee of the Global Cooperation for a Better World project, which is an international project. The aim of Global Cooperation for a Better World is really very simple. It is to demonstrate that it really is possible for each of us as individuals and as groups to participate in the reshaping of the transformation of the world in which we live. And my hope is to get people to think about this in three contexts or perspectives. That is, my vision for a better world in terms of how the world functions. What does this world look like? The second perspective has to do with relationships. In a better world, in the world that I envision, what would relationships be like? How would people, groups, nations interact? And thirdly and equally as important, what about me? How do I see myself in terms of a better world? And see myself as a better person? What changes do I need to have occur in me if I'm going to be an effective instrument for change in my community, in the society in which I live? April the 21st, today, all over the world, there are launchings similar to this. Not a lot of trumpet blowing, but just gatherings of people who make up our community in one way or another, to share this idea and to agree that it will begin right here with us. The international launching is taking place in the House of Lords in London. I have a relative in Mauritius with whom I was conversing this morning, and I'm very pleased that when she hung up, she was on her way to the Global Cooperation launching. That's very, very away from here.
My brain hurts, and so I found that whenever I could meditate, it really helped my headache. So I was looking for the perfect form of meditation. And that's why I ended up on Saturday at a meditation intensive at the Raj Yoga Center,
to see if this new kind of meditation would work for me, and found much to my shock that it really did. But maybe the exciting thing about it was that while I was there, it just happened to coincide with the launch of something called the Million Minutes of Peace Appeal, and that was being done in conjunction with the United Nations. And it was a wonderful, magical time to both begin studying Raj Yoga and to begin working in the world and trying to make it a really better place. It was a wonderful idea that originally within the Brahma Kumaris, and what happened was everybody was just asked to simply donate 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 minutes a day during a specific month in order just to think about peace as our part of the United Nations International Year of Peace. But there was a time in 1986, if you remember, where there wasn't a lot of hope for peace in the world. The Cold War was raging. We didn't think that anything exciting would happen. But during that time that we were meditating, there was a pre-summit held in Iceland, in Reykjavik, and one of the amazing things was that although it was a pre-summit and nobody had any great expectations, we found that for the first time the Americans and the Russians really were talking. And I think that every time I heard about the news coming out of Reykjavik or thought about it, I felt like I had personally helped that happen. That somehow they were really working for peace inside had really begun to have some effect on the outside. So maybe it's that feeling about peace that made me want to talk in front of the Berlin Wall, because it came down. At the conclusion of the Million Minutes of Peace, we added up all the minutes that had been donated from all around the world, and we found that there were in excess of over 2,000 years of peace that had been donated by people during that 1 month period. It was an amazing contribution effort, and it turned out to be about the largest program that was done any place in the world as part of the International Year of Peace. And the United Nations recognized the Brahma Kumaris by giving them various awards, both some national awards and international awards, for running that was the largest campaign during that year.
In 1971, the first center outside India started in London, and it was a small group of people who decided that it was really time to have a place where we could come together for meditation, and Mother Bhavan was able to send us a teacher. And from that time on, there were many, many different people from all different parts of the world who were coming to study meditation, and they then went out to the different continents to share the ideas of Raj Yoga. And so in a very natural way, London became the coordinating center for contact with various countries. Together with this, there was also the situation that we had several hundreds of people coming for meditation every morning, and we didn't really have a place to call home. And the wonderful thing that happened within the drama was that with the love, the cooperation, and the support of the family across the world, Baba created a beautiful home, which is Global Cooperation House. And the house is busy from the morning, through the day, until the night. Early in the morning, of course, we have our meditation and class, and we hear Baba's morning. And at that point, we have several hundreds of people come each day. And then through the day, we have various other activities taking place. Sometimes it's women's group, sometimes it's people from the nearby clinic who come by. So there's various community services that take place. In the evenings, we have things like the positive thinking course, stress management courses, meditation courses, and teachers' training takes place here also. These are some of the activities that we're having currently, as well as lecture series, of course. The other place that comes to mind very specifically is the whole continent of Africa. And about the same time as we thought of having a place with other Global Cooperation House in London, it was around the same time that the idea came up in Nairobi, because their needs were also very great, and the number of students there went to several hundreds. And the wonderful thing is that just as Global Cooperation House in London has completed, so too spent the day in New Zealand and Nairobi was completed. And by that day, the years a very beautiful place, with exquisite meditation hall and a beautiful museum. Out of Nairobi, Lord said, can you get a screen served? That Sister Vedanti and the other sisters who are here in Nairobi actually travel around the whole continent of Africa to around 8 different countries where we have centers or groups of meditators, but also serving generally the whole continent. It's not possible for me to mention 57 different countries individually by name. I'm just seeing how people from a Christian background, from a Jewish background, from Islam, from Buddhism, from Hinduism, whichever religious background the people have come from or from name, the teachings of meditation have been able to show them what the heart of religion actually is. Because there may be a difference in theology and philosophy between one religion and another, and of course there is. There are very distinct ideas that are portrayed through every religion. The life of a spiritual person, a truly religious person, would be something that's appreciated by any person of any background. And what we find is that meditation enables a person to develop both these things, both the mystical experience, but also through that experience of silence, and the power with which to apply the highest principles and ethics and the moral code within one's own life.
save all the beauty and all the qualities that make this human life as well. Thank you.